Life Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. It is a special back-to-school edition of our It's a Material World series. So what do material culture, school supplies, and sewing have to do with each other? Well, at the risk of giving too much away, we'll turn this over right away to Jennifer Fields, our material culture contributor, who introduces us to a Madison seamstress.
This week, children all over Wisconsin mourned the last day of summer and took their little behinds to school. Occasionally, the sound of Twee Wee and sewing machine somehow cuts through the din of parents celebrating their new freedom.
So I am cutting out a rectangle, essentially, to make a pencil case for a school child. And right now I'm using a rotary cutter, which makes a really nice straight line, unless you chop your finger off. Easiest way to cut things, much better than a scissors. This project is part of a back to school for fall project, and all these students need school supplies, but they can't afford them. So clearly I'm not going to make 300 pencil cases, but I'm going to make as many as possible. And I like to use recycled fabrics, things that I've made other things out of, and then I have leftovers. So it's repurposing things, and then I use old zippers from jackets and pants and dresses. So this piece of fabric was somebody's house curtains. And actually, not even just a house, it was a mobile home. So it's probably never been a pencil case, but it's really beautiful and kind of nice to have something that doesn't look like anybody else's stuff in a school. I feel like every kid should have their own individual sort of thing. I have been sewing since I was 8 years old. I used to sew with my mother when I was a little kid. We were fairly poor, so we couldn't afford new clothes very often. And she would buy bolts of fabric that were, say, like 50 cents a yard and buy the whole entire bolt. And then all of a sudden, the next day or 2 days later, we would all end up in school with the same pants. But, you know, back then it didn't, you know, you didn't think about fashion. It's like you just had to have clean clothes and you just had to rush to school, so it didn't really matter. But as I look back on it and look at the photos, it's kind of hilarious. The first thing I ever made was pants and shirts for my teddy bears when I was a little kid. I never played with dolls because they kind of freaked me out. I think dolls are kind of scary. My sister had lots of dolls. She had Barbie dolls, and Barbie dolls don't have a body where you can make cool clothes, so I would make them for my teddy bears. I was in a Winnie the Pooh play when I was a little kid at school, and I played Piglet, but my parents couldn't find a Piglet stuffed animal, so they got me a Winnie the Pooh animal, stuffed animal, and I would make that Winnie the Pooh some kick-ass pants. I used to make even like mini dashikis because I used to make those for my friends when I was younger. I picked this all up from my mother. My mother used to sew on a old like 1950s, 1960s Singer that was in one of those tables that flipped up. And it was cast iron. It was heavy as hell. And, you know, you had to stay in one room because it would take four children to move it. So we had to sit with that sewing machine and, you know, I had to sit with that sewing machine in the basement and I would sew on that. And then eventually my father made enough money and he bought my mom a brand new sewing machine, which I still have and used up until about a year ago when I got this new machine. It was the bee's knees. Portable, with a case, with a handle. And so I used to sew on that and I just retired that about a year ago. Sitting and sewing means it's like figuring out how multiple pieces fit together. And there's sort of mathematical aspects to that. And, you know, you have to know the physics of fabrics and how they lay and how they bunch. And I find that all really fascinating. It's like a little bit of science, math, and creativity all involved in the same, you know, bundle. It's like puzzles in my head that I want to figure out and then I kind of obsess over it. Or if I finish something, I'm like, God, would it have taken me that long if I had done it this way or that way? You know, it's a puzzle. You know, figuring out how to make things is a puzzle, or how to alter things or take things in or make things bigger is a puzzle. I like the sort of, you know, the cerebral sort of aspect of it, you know, figuring it out. That's the act of doing it. Even, for instance, look at these two pencil cases. The zippers are the same length. And I was like, wouldn't it be cool if I just put a zipper diagonally on there? Wouldn't that look sort of punk rock? So I did, and I was like, I like it. But then I realized it took a little longer, so. So I haven't made many more of those, but I like doing things for people that make them happy, and clothes make people happy. You know, looking nice makes people happy. So everybody likes clothes. Everybody likes fashion to a certain extent. And even if you don't like it, you need them, because we don't all live in a nudist colony. You know?
Lake Effect contributor Jennifer Fields produces and curates the series It's a Material World. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. She introduced us today to Madison seamstress Twi Wiegen. That's the Thursday edition of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tyke. Finally today, just a reminder that we're in the midst of a pledge drive at Milwaukee Public Radio, but it probably doesn't sound like one. That's because it is the return of the Quiet Campaign with no interruptions of programming. But it only works if you take action. If you've received a membership renewal notice in the mail, please take the time to renew your pledge today. If you're not already a member, please stop by WUWM.com and make your pledge. Thank you so much for your support, and thanks for listening today. Please tune in again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from listener-supported WUWM FM and HD1, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next.